You're not necessarily those are the owners and the staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls about it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and tonight we don't have any regularly scheduled guests. I've been away for a couple of days, so I thought maybe we'd have open lines, and I'd talk to you about some of the things that I've learned during the last couple of days. I was at the conference in San Francisco, and I picked up a copy of the Financial Times there. Now, apparently, the European Central Bank is beginning to warn about the danger of American hedge funds and warning the people of Europe that we're skating on thin ice. And this is basically what they said. Hedge funds have created a major risk to global financial stability for which there is no obvious remedies, the European Central Bank warned yesterday in one of its bloodiest official statements yet on the rapidly growing sector. And a clear hint of rising official nervousness in Europe about the multi-billion dollar industry, that's the hedge fund industry, the European Central Bank, ranked an idiosyncratic collapse of a key hedge fund or a cluster of smaller funds in the same category as a possible bird flu pandemic, as the types of shocks that could trigger fresh disruptions of financial markets. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But perhaps we should really go into the background of what hedge funds are, what the carry trade is, and why we are skating on thin ice, why we are really dealing with financial weapons of mass destruction, as Warren Buffett referred to them, currently latent but potentially lethal. And basically, hedge funds are people with oodles of money who can put up perhaps $10 million, $50 million, $100 million for investments. And these hedge funds then take these massive amounts of capital and they invest them in currencies. And one of the things that they've been doing is something called the carry trade. Now, the carry trade means that you carry money from one area to another. And what happened when Japan lowered their interest rates to zero in an effort to stimulate their economy, hoping that various people would begin to invest in Japan and get the economy going? And, of course, what happened was that many of the hedge funds moved into Japan, put up a little security, and borrowed money at 0% interest or 0.5% interest. And then they could go to places like Iceland and buy Icelandic bonds at 10%. So you borrow at 0% or 0.5% and you lend it at 10%, that's pretty good. Even here in the United States, borrowing it at 0% and lending out at 3.5% to 4%, buying American bonds, this was being done all over the world. And of course, what Japan did was massively increase the liquidity of the world. And as a result, of course, even more so than America, has set us up for a great fall, because this is all money that doesn't exist. It's artificially created. Well, then when Japan's economy began to improve a little bit, and the Japanese began raising the value of their currency and began talking about raising the interest rates, while the people, of course, in the carry trade had to go and pull their money out of Iceland and other countries, New Zealand, I believe, South Africa. These countries that had this tremendous influx of money and were really doing very, very well, suddenly this money was just promptly pulled out of the countries, repaid to Japan, and Iceland had an 18% drop in the value of their currency, over a period of about a week. And this was about, maybe 2 to 3 months ago. Not a word in the American media, not a word about what was happening to the New Zealand currency, the South African currency, and other countries that were hit by the carry trade. You see, we are really certainly walking on a razor's edge, and they're trying to keep the American people from realizing what's really happened. And, of course, many of you realize that the stock market was down almost 200 points today. And I think that we're going to see increasing falls in the market, whether it's going to occur now or whether a few months, whether it'll be associated with the coming war with Iran. They're going to have some sort of an excuse. When the whole thing begins to implode, and this is exactly what the European Central Bank is talking about, is the collapse of the value of the American dollar, the collapse of the whole world financial system. Why, I'm sure they're going to be able to blame this on the wicked Osama bin Laden. They'll blame this on, perhaps President Ahmadinejad there of Iran. It'll always be somebody else's fault. Nobody will want to say this has all been carefully planned here in the United States. How do we know it's been planned? Why, certainly Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan is a brilliant man, and if you haven't yet gotten a copy of the syllabus we put together that has his 1966 speech in it, or a 1966 essay he wrote on why gold is important, and the secret plan of the welfare state was to confiscate the wealth of the people, and that's why they were attacking gold. And it's a long, detailed analysis of the value of gold, and you can read the entire essay in the Financial Tsunami syllabus, as long as a great deal of other information we recommend you get, because if you don't understand what's happening financially, why, you're going to get swept away by the tsunami that's coming. But Alan Greenspan, time and again, was told the Fed, which was really, of course, the leading central bank in the world, should be regulating the derivative market, but Alan Greenspan refused to do it. People said, you've got to regulate the carry trade. You can't have this sort of thing going on, these hundreds of billions of dollars moving around throughout the world. And Alan Greenspan said, oh no, this is really good, this is healthy. Well, I'll tell you what, the Central Bank of Europe doesn't think so, the European Central Bank, and they're worried to death about the implication of what's going on, and you should be as well. And we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're simply talking about the fact that the European Central Bank is worried to death. They're likening the potential for the collapse of the hedge funds to the impact of a worldwide avian flu epidemic. And you must understand that everything is in place for the perfect financial storm. There was an article that appeared in the Financial Times also talking about the fact that Moody has beginning to actually lower the value of many of our major corporations because Congress has passed a law that the companies, the major corporations in America that have pension funds are going to have to be honest. They're going to have accurate accounting rules. You know, it's the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And what they've done is they've been covering up their major losses for many of our major corporations. But this is what the article in the Financial Times said. Proposed changes in the way that U.S. companies account for pension obligations would wipe out the book equity of a handful of large U.S. companies and affect dozens of others while potentially triggering credit rating downgrading in isolated cases, Moody said yesterday. The rating agency's report comes as Congress continues to wrangle over rules changing designed to toughen up the pension rules amid concern about companies reneging on their obligations or dumping their pension obligations on the United States government. Now, basically they pointed out that with the new accounting rules, which will have to be an honest accounting of the money that is actually owed, while you would find the Goodyear tire, Lucent, General Motors and Ford would see their shareholders' equity more than wiped out if they adjusted for pension and other obligations that are proposed by the new accounting rules, according to Moody. The book equity of dozens of other companies would fall by more than 10%. And so what they're basically saying is when we come up with the honest accounting rules, if you own General Motors stock, why, it will have absolutely no value. In fact, the value of General Motors would be far less than the shareholders' equity. And I, of course, we put that up before. It would be about $43 billion in the hole. And how would you like to be holding General Motors bonds under those circumstances? And the same thing holds for so many of our other major corporations that have massive pension obligations and no possible way in the world ever to meet them. And, of course, what the companies would like to do is go bankrupt and put that obligation over on the federal government. The federal government doesn't have the money to meet that. The federal government isn't even going to be able to pay its own Social Security obligations. Do you realize that 11 years from now, there will be less money coming into Social Security than there is going out of the Social Security fund every day? And as a result of that, they're going to have to go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So what is there in the Social Security Trust Fund? Well, the Social Security Trust Fund is kept in a three or four drawer filing cabinet, and all you'll find in that is a little folder that has a bunch of IOUs from the federal government, because the Social Security Trust Fund is part of the federal debt. And you'll hear various figures that are given for our federal debt, about $5.3 trillion, or $8.3 or $8.4 trillion. Which is it? Well, it depends on whether you're including the Social Security and Medicare money that is stolen every single year by the federal government to spend. So the politicians can appear to be doing good. They won't have to raise your taxes and get you mad at them, but they're, of course, stealing from future generations. Let me give you an example. We're told this year that the federal deficit will be $331 billion. That's $331 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. But, of course, what they don't mention when they talk about the deficit is all the off-budget spending, which is another $100 billion, or I think maybe 95. They cut it down from 105 to 95 billion. And that is, of course, for pork for the politicians so they can get reelected. That's for the war in Iraq, and that's, of course, for New Orleans. So there's almost another $100 billion on top of the $331 billion. And then they're going to steal a couple of hundred, maybe $200, $250 billion from the Medicare and Social Security Fund. In other words, that is the excess of what goes out, but it should be put aside for the fund for future years, but is being spent. And so what do? They simply put an IOU into that filing cabinet saying, now we owe you that money. And that's part of the federal debt. The future liabilities of Social Security are part of the federal debt. Now, what is even more disturbing than that is the fact that we're using the same sort of phony, baloney actuarial figures or accounting that the General Motors and Ford and Goodyear and Lucent and the others are using. If we were to use actuarial figures, as we should be, the actual federal debt would be up around somewhere about $71 trillion. $71 trillion. But they're not going to do that. They don't dare let the American people know that there's no way that we will ever pay off our obligations. So what they're going to have to do is simply destroy the value of the currency and then start in all over again. That's what they've done in country after country after country where you've had irresponsible politicians. But the problem is that when that occurs, the life savings of the average American is destroyed. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you'd like to, of course, to enter into conversation, we're looking forward to hearing from you at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295. Now, then, of course, if we look at all the other things that are lining up as far as the federal debt is concerned, we have an aging population, we have pension funds, and there's no money for the pension funds for the corporations or for Social Security, and they're going to have to raise the age of retirement to mid-70s or mid-80s to get this thing back on an actuarial sound basis, and none of the politicians have the courage to do that. We have a massive budget deficit. We have a massive deficit as far as our trade with other countries. We have the carry trade. We have, of course, the derivatives. And, of course, they're somewhere between $300 and $350 trillion in derivatives out there. What are derivatives? Well, I'd like to use the analogy of a bookie betting on a bookie's wager. In other words, you have a bookie, and let's imagine that they give you an 81 odd on a horse that couldn't possibly get out of the gate. Only something happens, all the other horses fall by the wayside, and the horse at 80 to 1 odds wins. Well, the bookie doesn't have enough money to beat that, so you've got somebody else who guarantees the bookie, and that's exactly what derivatives are. And, of course, as you look at into the background of the derivatives, you're talking about over closer to $350 trillion is the latest estimate of derivatives. And, of course, as Warren Buffett talks about them, he says that these are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And we have an excellent section in our syllabus called Financial Tsunami. And incidentally, we have the talk on the financial tsunami both in DVD and in video, and we think it's really quite good. We'll give you the background and understanding of what's really going on. And, of course, we're being set up for a terrible catastrophe. And then, of course, we have certainly the energy crisis. We have rising prices of oil. Oil was up to over $72 a barrel today. We have certainly the war in Iraq, which is going to go on, and it's never going to end, probably during our lifetime. Today, as you know, there were stories about the so-called militia movement, somebody going in pretending to be police, kidnapping, 50 people, and they did the same thing yesterday, and they're stopping buses and slaughtering the students there, and we don't know who these people are. Could these possibly be some of the contract agents? We've got probably 100,000 contract agents over there. We have all the private militias. Why are we allowing all these private militias to operate? There's so many unanswered questions out there. But the war in Iraq is costing close to $100 billion a year, and there's no end in sight. And now we're talking about going to war with Iran. What sort of madness is this? In fact, Condoleezza Rice is saying, we're going to give them a few weeks, but not months to decide. And yet the CIA says it's going to be 4 to 10 years before they are able to create a nuclear bomb. Obviously, they want an excuse to go to war, and what is that war going to be used to cover? Well, let's go to Carol, who's calling us from Arkansas. Hi, Carol. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Our 6 o'clock lead story here on the evening news was kind of in line with the story the other day that broke about the accidental loss of all the military names. And
you're talking about the Veterans Administration, yes.
Yes, and how they lost all these people's personal files.
Of course, you know what that's all about, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do, because it happened here today.
All right, well, I think you have to understand, Carol, that this is all to convince us, my goodness, we need a better means of identifying ourselves.
Yes.
You could have identity theft. Why do you think Citibank puts out so much money on television ads with this man who talks like a woman? Or the woman who talks like
a man.
And what's it all about? Well, it's certainly not to get you to use Citibank credit cards. It's to convince you that we've got to have everybody have a chip in them. That's how we're going to know that they can't steal your identity. And that's what this whole story is as far as the veterans is concerned.
Dr. Stan, they announced that the Texas Savings Guarantee and Loan had lost all of its names in its memory bank in their computers.
Can you imagine that? And of course, this fellow who works for the Veterans Administration, who's taken his computer home, he hasn't been fired. I mean, nothing will be done to him. Oh, he may get a little censor. If you believe this story, you believe anything. They're using it to stampede the American people into being willing to take a chip. Well, Carol, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, it was the main lead story on our evening news that the Texas Guarantee Loan Company had lost all of the names in their computer systems. And the remark was, we don't believe at this point any people's personal identification has been stolen. So it really pretty much tells you what it's all about. I mean, they're just leading it up. And I, these computers are supposed to be so perfect now. That's why we've gone to all of this computer system. And I don't believe that someone in the military would be take home the one sole computer that carried everybody's names and personal information in it, nor do I believe this Texas Guarantee loan just accidentally lost all these people's identification. You know, I mean, it's just too far-fetched. It's just that there's not another copy of it. They have no backup disk. They have no, you know, it's just lost.
I know. Well, of course, the thing is that they're using this as a justification for frightening the American people. Gee, we've got to do something about identity theft. Well, they can change your they can steal your identity. They can make your life miserable. They can buy all these things using your name. But, you know, the thing is, if you understand that, can you imagine somebody working for the Veterans Administration taking a big computer home night after night after, according to the latest article, he'd been doing this for months. And nothing's going to happen to him. All it is being used for is to frighten the American people. And once you understand we're being manipulated, then it all begins to make sense. And the same thing true with the savings and loan or whoever these people are. They're suddenly just losing all this information. It's all out there.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma offered that amendment to that amnesty bill. And the Senate rejected it because he said, you know, all of these people that are coming here illegally are using American citizens' Social Security numbers. And despite of that, they rejected his amendment and passed the thing anyway.
Well, I think one of the most amazing thing is the federal government knows where all of these illegal immigrants are working who are using a phony Social Security number because, of course, they know, you know, these are not the true people. They may say they're that people, but other people are paying into Social Security as well. So if they are using a legitimate Social Security number, why the Social Security Administration knows exactly where the illegal immigrants are. They have no intention of going after the illegal immigrants any more than they have any intention of closing our border, of stopping the catch and release program that catches the people. They only catch one in four, and they immediately release them, whether they be from foreign countries or from Mexico. They have no intention of going after the employers who are hiring these people illegally and know that they're illegal. I mean, it's all showbiz, and certainly the president's recent effort to send the National Guard to the border is all smoke and mirrors. Are they going to be guarding the border? No. They're going to be building roads. They're going to be putting in additional lighting. But as the president said, we're going to send them down there, but we're not going to militarize the border. President Bush is trying to pander to the people and make them think that he's doing something, whereas, of course, his real goal is to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, do away with our borders, you know, and make it perfectly legal for the people to go back and forth. He said, I do not want to give these people amnesty. I just want them to be able to stay here and become American citizens. And so many Americans say, well, obviously this is not amnesty because the president says it isn't amnesty. But as Congressman Sensenbrenner said, if it isn't amnesty, what would you call it? So we got to get people to understand that President Bush says one thing and means another. And hang on there. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest. Well, right now we've got Carol calling from Arkansas, and of course we'd be glad to talk to you if you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Ray hanging on. We'll get to him in just a minute. Carol, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, it just seems very obvious to me that they are going to lose a lot of people's personal identification and allow illegal aliens to cause us a lot of grief using our identification and force us into the National Animal Identification Act for people. I think that's where they're headed with it.
You're absolutely
and,
right, Carol.
The Amero dollar and all that stuff. You know, I mean, it just seems that because the Social Security, after all, as you just said, is nothing but a bunch of figures on paper anyway, because there is no fund. They're driving us further in debt every month because there is no fund. And so everybody's at risk. Everybody is at risk. Those of us who have paid in for a lot of years could be, you know, so much out of luck.
Well, I think it's not only, of course, the Social Security Fund, but the real problem is the stability of the American dollar. And the great, great tragedy is that the average American really doesn't understand that we are running massive deficits, that the American dollar, basically we have actually about $120 billion, something like that, in gold. And built on top of that, we have over $10.5 trillion of money and credit all throughout the world. There is nothing behind it. It's all an illusion. And the only difference between monopoly money and fiat money is when you play monopoly, there's only a certain fixed amount of money on the board, and everybody plays for that. When, of course, you're dealing with fiat money, they can print all they want. There is no limit. And then they can get credit on top of that, and that's where we are today.
Dr. Stan, do you think there's any chance that if they bust it, that there could be enough Americans that would say, and perhaps enough elected people, that we could get some monetary system back on gold and silver?
Well, of course, that will be our hope. I think the people who have gold and silver may have some possibility of surviving. But I think, of course, when the monetary system fails, remember, the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. Destroy the stability of the currency, you destroy the stability of the society. You saw, almost over a million illegal immigrants and their supporters demonstrating peacefully here on May 1st in countries across America. How'd you like to see them demonstrating violently and burning cities and burning cars, when they're no longer getting their welfare benefits and when the jobs are not available?
Well, I think that's what they intend. I think that's what they intend. I think that's why they're setting it up and letting them all come in here, and these groups that are organized whose stated purpose is to overthrow the government or take back half of the United States. I think that's an incitement of war, a declaration of war.
But of course, who's funding all of these radical illegal immigrant movements, groups? It's the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and yes, even our own government is funding groups like La Raza and LULAC and the others.
Well, they're funding them as long as they let them come in here and make us pay, for slave wages to keep them while they send their check back south of the border.
Right. And, of course, remember that the Mexicans, they just want a better life. They're good, hardworking people. They're being used, and, of course, there are a few radicals there being funded by the subversive organizations here in America, being funded by the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, with tax-exempt money. And where is the outcry from the American people? Most of them don't even understand. They think the enemy is the Mexican. It's not at all. I mean, he is simply a pawn in the game, exactly as you and I are. We must never hate the people who are coming here for a better life. Certainly, we cannot let everybody come in because it will destroy the nation. In fact, polls in Nicaragua said that 60% of the people would like to come to America. 70% of the people in Peru would like to come to America. There are a billion people throughout the world that like to come to America. But, of course, we can't let them all in. That's the tragedy. And when we have all these welfare systems, and right now so many of the people who are coming here are getting onto welfare under one guise or another. They're getting free education for their children. They're getting school lunches for their children. They're getting onto Medicaid. They're getting free health benefits. And in fact, President Bush wants to give them all Social Security, even those who came here illegally. And have using fraudulent Social Security numbers. Social Security has all those numbers on hand, knows exactly who's using them, so that later on, when this whole thing works out, they can get their Social Security benefits too. After all, didn't they pay the taxes? Hey, Carol, thank you so very much
all
for
right.
being with us.
Thank you, Dr.
God
Ann.
Bless. And we'll be back here in just a moment and welcome your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So give us a call if you have a question or comment. It's going to be, well, sort of open lines. We started out talking about the coming financial crisis, about the fact that the European Central Bank is very, very worried about the carry trade and the derivative situation, and they have likened the coming collapse of the carry trade derivatives as the impact of an avian flu pandemic. And I don't know if you've been reading the government reports on that, but they feel that if this should happen, it would totally shut down our economy and create chaos all across America. If there really were a pandemic, well, certainly what's happening financially is even more threatening than the pandemic. Ray, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment, a couple of comments. One of them was that the Supreme Court just came out with a ruling that government employees couldn't blow the whistle on their superiors for any reason at all other to be punished by being fired or whatever. It's really rather frightening.
I think it is, too. And if you notice that it's at least Judge Alito was the swing vote on that. In other words, what they're doing is saying, we don't want the American people to know about the corruption in government, and anybody who tries to tell them has no protection at all. We used to have whistleblowers' protection, and now the Supreme Court has done away with freedom of speech for government employees.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing to hide, why are they hiding it, and why is Judge Alito so intent upon protecting the current administration that put him into the Supreme Court?
He's a fascist, as far as I'm concerned. I think there's a lot of fascists in our government, and I think who knows? They may be neo-Nazis for all that. You know, I don't know.
But, well, anyway, I share your concern about that, Ray, and I think that we have to watch very, very carefully what the Supreme Court is doing. Certainly I believe that we need to replace the people in the Supreme Court with people who believe in the Constitution. But there's no place in the Constitution where the Supreme Court can take away whistleblower protection from government employees who are trying, in the name of the public knowledge and public information, to tell the people about total corruption and malfeasance at the highest levels of our government. And believe me, it is at every level of our government. And now the whistleblower no longer has protection.
Especially when you think about the Anderson, the government accounting office, Enron.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan, go ahead. Ray, finish up your thought there.
Finish up my thought train here. What I was going to say also was that I feel that before they have a financial tsunami, I think they have plans. I think that they're actually have plans on having a phony terrorist attack, maybe, and maybe declaring martial law.
Well, they could either do that, or of course you could have the war with Iran, and then could be the Iranian terrorists who are stationed here in this country,
and
have been for a long time, and they are under total control, and don't think for one minute that our government isn't watching every terrorist who's in this country. They knew who they all were before 9/11. In fact, you remember that immediately after 9/11, they arrested 1,000 Muslims here in this country. How did they know who to arrest? Who these people who were here illegally? Because they'd been monitoring them and watching them all along.
And then, of course, you know, interesting thing is that they appointed Hayden, the head of the CIA, when he was the one that was the mastermind behind the telephone calls thing, you know, the millions of telephone calls that were screened.
But you have to understand, Ray, that this has been going on for 30 years under Project Echelon. Why they're bringing this out now, I really don't know. They've been monitoring all of our faxes, all of our emails, all of our telephone calls for 30 years. But they can't let the American people know. Now, of course, they're going to say, oh, yes, but we're only doing that on terrorists. We're not doing it on everybody. And the truth of the matter is they are doing it on everybody.
Well, you know, I think we have to turn to the Bible and realize that, you know, God will shorten the days, you know.
And God is going to withdraw his blessing from this country.
Yeah, he will do that, too.
And, and of course, you know, this latest phony thing about, you know, an amendment to the Constitution to outlaw homosexual marriage. Now, I'm against homosexual marriage, but we don't need a constitutional, amendment for that.
No,
I mean, this is totally absurd. This is pandering to the people to try to get people to vote for the Republicans in November. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not going to pass. You need two-thirds, and they've only got 50 votes. Mm-hmm. And it is all to give you the impression that President Bush is in favor of traditional family values. But if you see who he's appointed to key positions, you know, in the various government departments, so many of them are homosexuals and homosexual activists.
Oh,
so
yeah,
if he's really against homosexual marriage, why has he been appointing homosexuals to key positions? And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's rhetoric over reality. They're playing the Christians in this country, you know, like an accordion.
Well, and the other thing, too, he's lucky he hasn't been impeached.
Well, of course,
he should have been.
But you don't have to worry, because Nancy Pelosi says if the Democrats win in November, you don't have to worry, because we're not going to impeach him. Doesn't that give you a warm feeling, though,
with
a two-party system?
It makes me feel real comfortable.
Hey, thanks for calling, Ray.
Okay,
God bless.
We'll see. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Michael, who's calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Dr. Stan. You don't seem to be too busy tonight, so I got...
Michael, I think you got your radio on.
I just turned it down.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a couple subjects I just had been wanting to discuss or ask you about. In-law of mine had taken some of Dr. Day's seminars in Palm Springs or Palm Desert or someplace like that, apparently fairly recently, and he had some medical problems, and I suggested he try her program. He said, oh, I know all about her. Some in-laws of his had gone to her conferences and said that she had some relative who had gotten sick and apparently she'd not been able to help him, that she'd renounced her program, told them that she wasn't going to advise anybody on medical problems and nutrition anymore.
I don't know anything about that. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, and...
I don't want to comment on it.
I kind of reluctant to bring it up, but I just think, I don't see any problems with her recommendations. Pretty universal in the natural medicine nutrition field, but in searching around for an answer, I found a web page she has on her religion, and that was very unorthodox and personal to me.
Well, I think you have to understand that she's a Seventh-day Adventist, but there's a great deal, you know, in the Seventh-day Adventist faith I think is very, very good as far as the spiritual aspect. I happen to disagree with some of the things there, but they are still Christians. They believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. And I think we can spend so much of our time attacking one another rather than attacking the enemy. And I will tell you that the things that Elizabeth White wrote about the spiritual battle that's going on, I think we're right on.
It seemed to me she had, she had some comments in there that were really unchristian.
Well, I think I really don't know, and I would suggest you take them up with her. I think that she's an amazing and very capable person, and I believe
very,
call her a friend.
Very straight, it seems to me. Another subject, Dr. Stan, you've had quite a bit of discussion of Francis Bacon lately, and... A few years ago, I had some experiences with very corrupt court judges and decisions, and I tried to study out to find out where maybe this corruption in the judiciary first started. It was kind of a surprise to me when I first experienced it, but I went so far as to going back and the judge I had confidence in his honesty was Thomas More in the English court system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did quite a bit of reading about him and about, his confrontations and his insistence on integrity and so forth. And then I found out that not too many years after he was Lord Chancellor, Francis Bacon was Lord Chancellor. And I believe that what I've read was that while he was Lord Chancellor, he was convicted and imprisoned for taking bribes from both sides in cases that he was considering. And, this has never come up in your discussions of...
No, and I really haven't heard anything at all about that. I'll have to look into it.
Well, I was doing, research in the legal law library.
All right, well, I will certainly take a look at your talk.
It's very interesting.
All right.
And
I appreciate you mentioning it.
He claimed that, from what they said, that Well, you know, it didn't influence him to take money from
them. Well, I really don't know anything at all about it. We'll have to look into it, Michael. I appreciate so much your call.
All right. And keep up the good work. I sure enjoy your quest for
knowledge. God bless. Bye-bye. Let's see. Let's go to Tony, and then we've got Roger calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Love to hear from you. And Roger will be next, but right now we have Tony with us calling from Idaho. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Dr. Stan.
Okay. How's the weather up there in the Seattle area?
Oh, it's well, we're not in Seattle.
In Spokane.
Spokane.
Right.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice. It's been in the 70s, and we get a little thunder shower once in a while. It's not bad.
Okay.
But I was wondering if you ever saw that program that came out in early 2001. It was called The Lone Gunman. It was put out by the same producer that did The X-Files.
Yes, I did. Yes, in fact, I remember the one where, of course, they had the plane that was going to crash into the World Trade Center.
Right,
it just came just about 6 months before the 9-1-1 episode, and the lone gunmen were there in this plane. It was headed right for the World Trade Center, and somebody had taken control of the plane with computer control, and of course it then suddenly, just at the very last minute, the plane zoomed over the top of the World Trade Center, and of course the plane was saved, the World Trade Center was saved. And I think it's interesting that after 9-1-1 that was never shown again.
Well, they killed off all the characters and canceled the series.
Right.
Even though it was more popular in its first season than The X-Files was.
Well, The X-Files really, you know, had a lot more truth in The X-Files than you're going to hear on Rush Limbaugh. And, of course, it had two things there. One of them was they hide things in plain sight. And then the other was the slogan, the truth is out there. And it really is out there.
I agree. Part of that, which was so interesting, was that the plane that almost crashed into the Trade Center. Now, you know, this was 6 months before 9-1-1.
Right.
It was, let's just say, hijacked by a small group within the government. And also, it left Logan Airport in Boston. It was flown by remote control. That the reason that they wanted to crash the plane into the Trade Center was because the munitions dealer in this country, munitions dealers, we're getting antsy because there wasn't enough business, and they wanted to blame it on a Middle Eastern country so they could have another war.
It's sort of like Deja Vu all over again, isn't it?
Yeah. It was really hard to get a copy of that. My son finally tracked it down, and we watched it with a bunch of people in our family and all that, and they could not believe that was broadcast 6 months before 9-1-1. And I go, well, at least I guess that means Condoleezza Rice doesn't watch television very much.
Well, Condoleezza was just saying, you know, we're not going to give the Iranians months. They've got weeks to answer our demand to stop, you know, producing enriched uranium or else. And I think that or else is an American attack on Iran. And that will plunge the world into chaos. Maybe that's how they're going to solve all the monetary problems, because there's no other way other than to collapse the dollar and start all over again, in the process impoverish the American people.
Mm. Well, there was a little other tidbit of news I didn't know if you would be interested in, about Warren Buffett and all of his silver. I don't know if you heard about what happened with that.
Well, certainly Bob Chapman said that was sold actually to go into the in the exchange traded fund. Do you have some other story?
Well, according to Ted Butler, you know, Ted Butler Research.
Right.
Well, Buffett wasn't exactly the knight in shining armor as far as for when silver, because it's pretty dangerous to sell something that you don't have in case it goes up. So he wanted to be a short seller, but he wanted to back his position by actually having the silver.
That's a pretty smart thing.
And so anyway, when silver went up to, you know, $10, $12, he lost it. And so it did go back into the market. But a lot of people, including myself, were under the impression that he bought it because of, you know, the fact that he thought it was a good value, or, you know, whatever you might say.
I really don't know, Tony. Certainly Bob Chapman says that he held onto it and sold it to the exchange-traded fund. Maybe Butler's right. Maybe Chapman's right. Maybe one day we'll know the truth.
Well, it's not that important anymore. But the fact is that Buffett doesn't have it. According to Butler, he became one of the short sellers. And,
well, that was pretty smart on his part.
Well, he probably still made a profit.
Oh, I'm sure he made a very, very large profit. And you'd never want to bet against Warren Buffett. Now, I'm not saying I like Warren Buffett. In fact, I believe he's one of the insiders. He's a very close friend of Lord Rothschild. In fact, the story is he actually took Arnold Schwarzenegger over to meet Baron Rothschild before Schwarzenegger was allowed to run for governor.
That story was reported in the San Jose Mercury News, by the way.
So I think it's rather accurate. Anything else, Tony?
No, just good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too.
I like to check in once in a while. I call on my dime, by the way.
All
I've got three long distance.
Okay, give our best to Janice.
I will.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. And once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Roger. Do you have a question?
Some information I'd like to pound out, since you're always remiss in doing that, your earlier time frequencies on World Band. And also the toll-free to the Capitol Hill switchboard.
All right, go ahead.
If the listeners could quickly grab their pencils. And also, there's no substitute for expanding syndication of your radio show. If the folks would call, like, say, once a month or so to all those hundreds of local mom-and-pop stations and the Christian radio stations, unfortunately, there's some really... wretched stuff on what passes for Christian radio, not including your show, of course, and the now your earlier frequency starting 5 hours ago would be 9.840. The reception here has been kind of wretched the last 4 or 5 months, but so be it. And those frequencies change at least a couple times a year as the seasons change. And the toll free for the Capitol Hill switchboard is 1-888-355-3588. I'll repeat those numbers. And you just call Senator such-and-so or Congressman such-and-so, and then they connect you. And again, the toll-free for the Capitol Hill switchboard, 1-888-355-3558. And expanding the syndication, that's just so important, and it's a lot easier to do than people think. And I also want to put out a new frequency for RBN in the day. They've now moved to, that is, rbnlive.com. And those live streams the live streams free and those archives, those precious free archives of your last 2 hours here, that's so vitally important to propagate the plugs. I get plugs in on the Clear Channel stations, and I still call back in there, by the way, folks. And that's including the mom and pop stations.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much, Roger. Appreciate it. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, the daytime frequency for RBM, it starts at 12 noon Eastern weekdays, and then Saturday as well at 12.180 is the new frequency. And then at 6 p.m. Eastern, it changes to, or actually, I think it doesn't change until 8 p.m. now, to 5.050. And your local listeners, if they leave the area, they can tune in nationwide pretty much. And God bless you all.
Thanks very much, Roger. Let's go to Regis, who's calling from Pittsburgh. Hi, Regis. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I have to ask you a question. A number of months ago, I believe I heard you or one of your guests talking about the Christian organization World Vision, that it had a connection with the CIA. Is that correct or not?
I have heard some things about World Vision, but I really wouldn't want to make a statement on that because I really don't have the documentation on it.
Oh, okay. So
I've heard some things, but as I say, maybe somebody out there would have the documentation one way or the other. But I will simply point out that most of our conservative Christian organizations have been infiltrated. I do not know whether that applies to World Vision or not.
Well, in what respect would the CIA want to utilize World Vision, for instance?
And, of course, then to use, but assuming that the presumption is right, money, and then, of course, to influence the countries where the money is being invested. In other words, to really control the various governments throughout the world. This is what the CIA does. I mean, they create revolutions. There's been massive revolutions in the eastern part of Iran recently. You haven't read about it in your newspaper, but we are financing civil unrest in countries throughout the world, and you might as well use the missionaries for that as well. We'll be back in just a minute. Hang on, Regis. We can cover that a little bit more detail.
Thank you.
But, of course, when the English, who, of course, were the prototype of what we are today, they went throughout the world using the Christian missionaries to create the British Empire. And as Mahatma Gandhi said, you know, the Christians, they had a glass of rum in one hand, a piece of meat in the other, and they were here to gain control of our country. And they did gain control of almost the whole world. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Regis calling, and he was asking about World Vision. I told him I really don't know anything about World Vision, and I really wouldn't want to hazard a thought on it. But certainly the CIA has infiltrated so many of our Christian and conservative organizations and is using them to push their agenda. And their agenda is basically a new world order and a new world religion. So whether this would apply to that, I really can't tell you. But they certainly neutralized the Christian and conservative movement here in the United States.
Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
Concerning, have there been reports back to you that someone might be jamming your signal? Because I don't listen as often as I would like to your program, but recently, in the last month, I've heard birds chirping and people whistling over over the frequency that you're transmitting, just enough to be irritating.
No, is this the short wave? Or is
the short wave.
I have heard some things. I don't know what we can do about it. Would I report it to the CIA or to the
FCC?
FCC. I don't think it would do me much of any good. But no. If you would call me off the air, let me know when it is. We can always get hold of the shortwave people, WHRI. I think they'll do everything they can, but I wouldn't be surprised. The one thing that they cannot stand is for the American people to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happened, I'd say a half a dozen times at least. And I don't listen on a daily basis, so I assume they're doing it at other times, and I'd be curious if other people did hear that.
And I've actually got a call that they're having some problems with our radio broadcast, a satellite here, going out of Christian Broadcasting Network, that where we actually go up on the satellite, and some of the stations they'll go off the air for 10 minutes at a time, a couple of times a week. There's nothing I can do about it. All we can do is get the information out and hope that people will be patient. If they can't get it, you know, the regular radio stations, they get it on the Internet.
Pardon me?
If you can't get it on the regular station, you can always get it on the Internet. We get pretty good reception there.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you for your work.
God you bless. Thanks very much. And that was, of course, Regis calling, and we'll be getting to a Bill in Florida in just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got another hour to go and no regularly scheduled guests, so we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you agree or disagree, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we'd love to talk to you if you'd like to talk about finances, if you'd like to talk about Iran, if you'd like to talk about immigration, or really whatever you'd like to talk about. We'll be glad to talk to you, and I'll ask Bill to hold on till after the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, by Internet, by shortwave, by a satellite, and, of course, we are on Telstar 5, 9 hours a day, and shortwave 4 hours a day, Internet 5 hours a day, and radio stations somewhere in America 5 hours a day. We are trying to make people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Now, if you really want to understand what it's about, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand the war in Iraq, you need to get the video, Iraq, The Untold Story, and or syllabus that goes with that, and you really want to get the syllabus along with Iraq, The Untold Story, because we go into all of the wars of the last century every single one of them, starting with the Boer War and the Spanish-American War, and then the First World War and the Second World War, and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and the First Gulf War, and now the Second Gulf War, every one of them was contrived. And we actually give you the documentation on that, the fact that they didn't have to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki or invade Iwo Jima or Okinawa. The Japanese have been trying to surrender for 5 to 6 months. We wouldn't let them surrender because there are people in our government who are part of the Brotherhood of Darkness who want as much death and destruction and horror as they possibly can. And so you need to have the documentation. You need to see our video, World Revolution. You'll actually see my interview with Ambassador Smith, Earl Smith, who was the ambassador to Cuba at the time the United States intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power, and we've kept him in power ever since then, all the while proclaiming what a wicked and evil man he is, and how we keep trying to assassinate him. But isn't it interesting that when he comes to the United States to visit with David Rockefeller, why we never try to assassinate him? I wonder why that is. Well, and then, of course, you need to get our material on the financial tsunami. There's a video or a DVD, and then there's a syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, you need to get our 4-tape set on immigration. You need to get the book Importing Revolution, which goes into how the Ford Foundation has been funding the immigration movement, the illegal immigration movement, and, of course, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation. I have been working with the Ford Foundation for 50 years, financing subversive activities in America, and that's covered in a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. All of these and much, much more is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Remember, you can listen to us 5 hours a day on the internet at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, give us a call at that number, 1-800-544-8927. And please encourage others to listen to our programs. Quite frankly, we need your help to be able to maintain our coverage across America as we reach out, trying to educate the American people about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And so, well, please pray for America and pray for revival. Until we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And as you know, we don't have any regularly scheduled guests this evening, so if you'd like to give us a call, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've been talking about what's happening to the country financially. We've been talking about the fact that the federal government, Condoleezza Rice, is threatening to take action against Iran in a matter of weeks. And she has said today that they do not have months to determine whether or not they're going to accept the demands we're making on them. They only have a matter of weeks. And I would question, why is it so urgent that we want to attack Iran? After all, recently, the Central Intelligence Agency is going to be 4 to 8 or 9 years before they are able to enrich uranium. Why is it so important that we get into a war right now? Well, right now, let's go to Bill, who's been hanging on patiently from Florida. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fair, Dr. Stan. Yourself?
No complaints at all.
I was listening to the Power Hour this morning, and they had mentioned a news report that Tex Mars had put out and someone else, and it had been confirmed by an NBC crew that Laura Bush has taken up nighttime residence at the Mayflower Hotel. Her security detail is down there at night due to the fact that our illustrious Christian president is having or had an affair with Condoleezza Rice, and I wondered if you'd heard anything.
No, I really haven't. I really wouldn't even want to comment on that without really solid evidence on it. You know, I don't believe everything I hear on talk radio, and Joyce is really very, very good, and Tex is usually very, very good. But I'm not going to put it out or verify it one way or the other. I'm going to be like that unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted but set off the record that he really had no comment.
Okay.
Anything else, Bill?
Is your DVD on that, what was the latest DVD?
This one on the financial tsunami?
Is that ready?
That's ready. We've got that now. We have the syllabus, we have the DVD, and we have the VHS on that. It's really rather good, even if I do say so.
I think I need to get that and watch that.
I think people need to understand that if you don't have the syllabus, you need to have that, because we explain the carry trade, we explain the derivatives, we explain how that literally hundreds of America's major corporations have been bought up by foreign companies and by foreign governments and by foreigners. They're buying up America, and soon we'll simply be the vestige of what we were.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. The immigration issue is going to take us down to, and as well as...
It's all planned. We're under attack from all sides, and the average American has no idea what's going on, and I hate to say this, but the American people are not going to wake up until things get rather bad, and our job is to try to be here to guide them through what's happening, and if they won't listen to us and make preparations now, maybe they'll listen to us later. But our job is to be here, and remember, it's God's battle. Well, we're to do our best. We're to let people know what's going on. But point out that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
We Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we've got with us from Santa Cruz, Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Long time, huh?
Right.
Yeah, for your caller about World Vision and the CIA, I don't know about the CIA, but World Vision is an NGO, so it might as well be CIA. It doesn't even need to be CIA if it's an NGO, which means it's a United Nations operation. You can go on the net and just type in World Vision NGO, and a whole bunch of things come up.
Okay, fine. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
Well, Condoleezza Rice, you know, people have been trying to figure out her sexual orientation for quite a while. And it seems vague. I wouldn't suspect her of being too involved with George Bush, though.
Well, I know nothing at all about the story, and certainly George Bush is not one of my favorite people, but I'm certainly not going to put the story out unless I can verify it.
That's right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, well, thank you so very much. And let's go to Joe, who's calling from Vancouver. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, Stan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Yeah, that Big Berkey is an awesome product.
You got one of those, huh?
Yeah, after 3 weeks, the city water just full of sludge after only 3 weeks of regular use.
All right, fine. Well, we think it's a great product, and we think it's so important that people have these things, not only for filtering your water, but in case there is an emergency. Yeah. So well, we're very, very pleased with it.
And speaking of being poisoned by the upper forces, I was eating a chocolate bar the other day, and as I was eating it, I was reading the ingredients, and much to my horror, I saw an ingredient there, propylene glycol. I do believe that's antifreeze.
It certainly sounds like it.
What in the world are they putting antifreeze into our candy bar?
Well, I'm not that much of an expert, that much of a chemist, but it certainly doesn't sound very healthy to me.
Also, how is it that the most mightiest force in the world is having such opposition from Iraq? I mean, what are they doing over there for 3 years?
Well, I think, Joe, you have to understand that we're not trying to solve the problem any more than we tried to win the Vietnam War. We could have won the Vietnam War at any time. William H. Sullivan, who was the American ambassador to Laos, who was actually went to Paris along with Kissinger, told me personally when I interviewed him back at the American Assembly at Columbia University back in 1980, he said we could have won the war at any time. We could have won it in 2 weeks.
But the media
in 2 months. He said, I could have won the war in 2 months if they just put me in charge, and I'm not a military man. General Lewis Wald, a four-star Marine general, told me that. We could have won the war at any time. They didn't want to win the war. The war was a very useful tool, a very useful distraction. And certainly that's exactly what it was. And while our boys were fighting overseas, we were losing our freedom here at home. Iraq, if you look at it, look, when we won the war, we attacked early in the back of the war. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Joe calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Our telephone number again, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But Joe was asking why the most powerful nation in the world could win in Iraq. And I simply pointed out, we're not trying to win in Iraq. Certainly, we have satellite technology. I mean, we can actually see a man smoking a cigarette in the middle of the night with that technology. We can have the satellites, you know, beaming in all over Iraq and Baghdad and Basra, all of these cities. We would know everything going on there, but we're not doing that. You have to ask yourself, why? So when we went over there, why, there were all sorts of ammunition dumps and weapons dumps, and the generals that were asking Rumsfeld for additional troops so we could guard those ammunition dumps. And Rumsfeld refused to give them the troops, and so there was no way to guard them, and that, of course, is the source of the munitions that are being used against our troops today. Now, why would Rumsfeld be that foolish? I mean, the generals wanted two or three times as many troops as they were given. You know, when we went into Kuwait to chase Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait in 1991, we had 695,000 troops in the Middle East. We got about 130,000 troops in Iraq today. And, you know, so why would you expect that you could take and occupy a country the size of Iraq, you know, with 130,000 troops, whereas it was going to take you 695,000 troops just to chase Saddam Hussein out of Iraq? It doesn't make any sense unless maybe nothing as it appears to be, but we invaded in March of 2000. By the 1st of May 2000, and I should say we invaded in early in March of 2003. By the 1st of May 2003, why they declared we'd won the war. Of course, President Bush landed. He gave the impression he had landed a plane on the aircraft carrier. He didn't. He was just riding there, you know, wearing the aircraft suit, you know, looking like a pilot, but he didn't pilot the plane at all. But everything is perception. He announced he had won the war, but immediately sends over Paul Bremer. And the military, of course, wanted to keep the Iraqi military intact and use them to maintain law and order and the Iraqi police force and the Iraqi civil service. Instead of that, Paul Bremer, who comes from the Rockefeller complex, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, worked for Henry Kissinger, who was part of the Rockefeller complex, Paul Bremer dissolves the army, dissolves the police force, dissolves the civil service, and creates the chaos we see today. The military wanted to rebuild the Iraqi army. And there was a major general, I think his name was Paul Evans. Anyway, we have his quotation in one of my recent newsletters. And he was given six men, full-time, to build an army for a nation of 25 million people. And as he said, you couldn't do it. They would not give me the troops. They promised me 250 men. They only had half that number. They were there for a few months, and then they were gone. He said, I had no cadre, I had no non-commissioned officers. Trying to build an army without non-commissioned officers, like trying to build a tent without tent stakes and without tent poles, you can't do it. We've done everything we could to block rebuilding an adequate Iraqi army. Why would you do anything that stupid unintentionally? They were pleading with the Pentagon to give them the material, but you see, Rumsfeld runs the Pentagon. Rumsfeld doesn't want an Iraqi army. He doesn't want a solution. He wants the problem. They want to use that as a staging area for the coming attack on Iran. Our troops are going to be there permanently, but they're not going to tell the American people that.
So your advice is that we should occupy until it comes, even though the forces of evil are going to prevail anyway, right?
Well, that's right, but we can make inroads into those forces of evil. Our job is to do our best. Remember, it's the Lord's battle. We're called upon to do our best, but he will determine what's going to happen.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay?
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Thanks very much, Joe.
Okay, bye.
Okay, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, we've got a little lull in the calls. We've had study calls here for almost an hour, and suddenly there's no lights lit up on the board. Anyway, of course, we were talking about what we face financially. And I have a little mnemonic I like to use to put it all together. A for an aging population. We're going on to pensions, but there's no money in the pension funds for them either. So many of the private pension funds are underfunded. They invest in the stock market. And when the stock market collapses, why, of course, there's not going to be any money there. And even if the stock market didn't collapse, so many of these companies are massively underfunded. We simply quoted from Moody, which points out that Goodyear, Lucent, Ford, General Motors, once they have to actually make an accurate appraisal, accurate accounting procedures, you will find out that the companies have a negative worth value. So if you have Goodyear, or if you have Lucent, or if you have Ford and General Motors, remember what Moody said. If you'd like a copy of the article, we'd be glad to send it to you. It appeared in the Financial Times. This is the sort of thing you're not going to find in the American media because they don't want you to know. Not until it's too late. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So we have A, aging population. We have B, budget deficits, and we have deficits in trade. C, we have the carry trade. D, we have the derivative market. E, we have the energy crisis with skyrocketing prices of oil. And, you know, if we attack Iran, I think you'll look back on $70 a gallon for gasoline. Pardon me, $70 a barrel for oil. And $3 a gallon for gasoline is the good old days. And, of course, you have to understand there is another agenda behind running up the price of oil, and that is simply they want to get us out of our cars. There is an organized effort, goes all the way back to the Club of Rome in 1972 with their book entitled, Well, anyway, they published a book at that time going into the fact that we were simply running out of oil, we were running out of air, we were running out of water, we were running out of natural resources. The Limit of Growth was the title of that book. And certainly the Club of Rome has been saying we've got to get people out of our cars. That was the basic thrust of the Earth Charter. That's the thrust of first Rio Summit, or the second, I guess the Rio Summit that was held in 1992. We've got to get people out of the cars. How do you do it? You run up the price of oil. So that's why they have not let us drill off the North Slope of Alaska, where there are literally trillions of barrels of oil up there. The most massive fields in the world are on American property, and we're not developing them. Why? Because they want a shortage. Just the same way that they've not allowed us to build one single oil refinery in the United States in 30 years. Do you think that happened by accident? And let me point out that we used to have about 340 oil refineries in the United States. Now we've got about 140, 150. These things don't happen by accident. They happen by intent. And then, of course, we have the F for war in Iraq and G for globalism, transferring of our wealth to other countries, transferring of our jobs to other countries. IBM now has over 40,000 people employed in India. 40,000 people employed in India. They're certainly the largest foreign employer in India. They're shutting down their industries here. They're shutting down their plants in the United States and opening them in India. And this is part of a plan to transfer our wealth and our jobs to other countries. That's globalism. And then, of course, H is for the the things that are going on. I is for inflation. I is for the certainly increasing prices. And if you look and see, they tell you we have a 2-3% inflation, and that really isn't true. We have an 8% inflation, and that means that every year your dollar is worth 8 cents less. And so they're destroying the value of our currency by that time. Well, we've got John calling us from Tennessee, so let's go to John. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was wondering, I get SSI. Can I still invest in, can I invest in mutual funds, or will that make me have to quit receiving SSI?
Well, now are you Social Security disability, or what are you? Are you
disability?
Are you retired? Are you over 65 or what?
No, I'm only like in my 30s, but I had a accident when I was young and I got like epileptic seizures a lot, and I was wanting to know if I could put money into a mutual fund, or if I did that, would I end up losing my SSI?
I wouldn't think that you would. You may have some sort of a limitation on how much money you can actually make if you are working, but if you actually are not working, I don't think there's any limitation on that. You'd have to talk to the local Social Security office, but I think that you could make all you wanted to by investing. However, if I were you, and I'm not a financial advisor, but I would not be investing in a mutual fund. I think a lot of those are going to go belly up. I would probably get into something related to gold and silver if you're going to be in anything at all. Invest on your own, because a lot of these mutual funds, they make a lot of money, but you don't necessarily make it at all. So there have been tremendous irresponsibility on the part of the people who run these mutual funds, and they've lined their own pockets and they fleece the investors. If you're going to invest, lose your money on your own. Don't go through them. Would be my suggestion. I would be in something related to gold or silver assets. I think that is the one means you're going to protect yourself against inflation. And I do not think, and I could very well be wrong, I hope you'll check and let us know, but I do not think this will influence any way your ability to receive SSI.
Okay, so that what would I go on the Internet to find gold and silver?
You can call me off the air and I can give you references to some people a lot smarter than I am on that, or listen to our programs regularly. We'll be having Bob Chapman on. He's got some great information. And of course, Ron Brown, Melody. You can actually have the assets. You may very well do better in the assets. You may want to get in gold and silver stocks. But be in something that's related to something tangible. Do not be in something that's related simply to dollar assets, because I fear that they are going to go belly up very, very soon.
Okay. No dollar. Okay, thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now we've got Darlene calling us from, of all places, New Jersey. Hi, Darlene. How you doing?
Okay. I wanted to mention a report that I heard on a small local radio station on Memorial Day.
Right.
That there was a report from South Korea that North Korea has missile capability of reaching as far as Anchorage, Alaska, and that they're working on other missiles to reach Midland America.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, but did you ever wonder how this country that can't even feed its own people, that is so backward, how they're able to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles that could reach Anchorage, Alaska, and might be able to reach the mainland of America? And, of course, they get the technology from China. And where did China get it from? They got it from the United States, thanks to Bill Clinton. And everybody thinks that Bill Clinton gave the Chinese communists the nuclear technology, or I should say the missile technology, for a few hundred thousand dollars in campaign contributions. And I think that's totally foolish to believe that. I believe, of course, we're building up the best enemies money could buy. We're building up China's military and military technology, and they're transferring that technology and missiles to North Korea. They're transferring that technology to Iran. They've already transferred the technology and missiles to Pakistan. Pakistan has transferred some of those missiles to Saudi Arabia. Their nuclear tips are aimed at Israel, and it's only a matter of time before the whole of the Middle East goes up in a sheet of mushroom clouds, I fear.
You know, I think, don't you think North Korea is more of a threat than Iran right now?
Who has been financing North Korea? You know, up until recently, we were the largest source of humanitarian aid for North Korea. Now, why would we finance a company that oppresses its people and, of course, keeps them enslaved? Until recently, it was the largest source of humanitarian aid, providing with massive amounts of food and oil and things like that. And it wasn't going to the people, it was going to the government. We kept the government in power, just as we kept the Taliban in power. You know, the wicked Taliban, we started financing them in 1994. They were, of course, giving sanctuary to the wicked Osama bin Laden, who was bombing American facilities throughout the world, and the coal and our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. And we were financing the Taliban. We were providing humanitarian aid and funding for the Taliban that was giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden. None of this makes sense unless you understand, Darlene, that nothing is as it appears to be. The danger from North Korea is created. It's all created. We create the best enemies money could buy, and then we destroy the best enemies money could buy. We built up communism after the Russian Revolution. We built up Nazi Germany. It was prior to the Second World War. It's all a mirage. You've got to be able to think outside the box.
It was in the newspaper yesterday that this Saxon Goldman man that they elected as governor here, Corzine, that he went to China because they're going to do business on stem cell research.
Well,
companies in China.
Well, it may very well be the case, but we're also transferring our military technology, our missile technology, our nuclear technology. In fact, we're so worried about, you know, Iran having nuclear power plants over there. We financed to the tune of $8 billion nuclear power plants in communist China. Why would we have done that? A lot of this just doesn't make sense. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment as we bring other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Darlene's calling from New Jersey, and she's concerned about the fact that we're actually seem to be helping China, that their governor there, New Jersey, is going over to China to help make some arrangements for doing joint stem cell research, and she's concerned about North Korea's nuclear technology, and I simply pointed out that North Korea's nuclear technology, or missile technology, North Korea's missile technology comes from Communist China, and Communist China's missile technology comes from the United States. So we are indeed financing the best enemies money could buy, and I fear that this is all leading up to World War III. And yet, of course, if you study the writings of the occultists, they've always told you that they were planning on three great world wars, the First World War, the Second World War, and the Third World War. And then if you go and you read Ezekiel, and I think it's 39, I could be wrong, it's either Ezekiel 38 or 39, they talk about this this great war that's going to come about when so many of the countries of the Middle East are going to attack Israel. And then, of course, the islands, the distant islands, and I think there that they're talking about America, and fire is going to rain down from the sky, and I really fear we're going to have a nuclear attack on America. I think it's just a matter of time. So if we look at, see what's happening purely from a historical point of view and from what's current events point of view, and then we begin to correlate it with the scriptures, I think we see a frightening similarity. But I believe God has to bring judgment on this country. I mean, here we have, you know, homosexual marriage becoming commonplace. I mean, we've killed 50 million unborn children here in the United States. And God says, you know, that killing children is a... Well, that was, of course, why he allowed or insisted on everybody in Jericho being killed. I mean, when Joshua was to take Jericho, why, he was to kill everything. He was to kill the animals. He was to kill the children. He was to kill, you know, every living thing except was Rahab and her family. Now, why? Well, of course, because they were sacrificing their children to Moloch. And they, you know, you could not leave any of that seed there. It was a bad seed. It would be destructive in the future. And God ordered every living thing killed. Why kill the little children? It isn't fair. Well, don't argue with me. Just, you'll have to argue with God on that one. But that was his dictate. Will God bring that sort of judgment on America? Well, hopefully that at least those of us who are faithful to him will be spared. But who knows what's going to happen? The rain falls on the just and the rain falls on the unjust. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice is not going to continue sleeping forever.
And they could collapse us financially also, these other countries.
Absolutely. In fact, our government is doing everything they can to collapse our own system. Alan Greenspan knew he should have regulated the carry trade, and he didn't. Alan Greenspan knew he should have regulated the derivative market, and he didn't. Alan Greenspan knew that he shouldn't have created the housing bubble and encouraged people to take non-fixed loans, and he encouraged them to. He encouraged the housing bubble that now is beginning to implode. We have to ask why. Alan Greenspan's a very, very intelligent individual. Well, one possibility is he came from the Trilateral Commission, and if you've read the material that Barry Goldwater wrote about the Trilateral Commission, he says it very clearly. These people want to rule the world. They have an agenda. They intend to rule the world, and they're going to rule the world. So this is really what we're up against.
Yeah, and I hear that there's some foreclosures going on all over the country now.
Yes, there really are. And in fact, it's rather frightening. I think more and more people are going to lose their homes as a result of it.
Oh, yeah, and there's these past few years, because the low interest, there's been people coming and going, moving and everything. And I'm just wondering, you know, what's going to happen when these houses aren't worth anything, when there are foreclosures all over.
Well, I really think that an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes, and of course, I really think an awful lot of people are going to be impoverished, but maybe it's going to take something like that, Darlene, to get their attention. As long as we live in such an affluent country, as long as times are good, an awful lot of Americans don't care. I think there's going to have to be terrible suffering in here before the people are willing to listen to what we have to say.
Yeah, but my fear is if the people get, you know, out of hand, then they'll declare martial law.
I think you're absolutely right. I think they're planning on that. That's why they're setting up detention camps all across America. They already have hundreds of army camps that are refurbished, ready to put people into them. We have given Halliburton over $400 million to build detention camps in case of civil unrest in America. And if you haven't seen the material we have on concentration camps in America, either the amazing clips or our four tape set on concentration camps, we even have a special on concentration camps. And I do hope that many of your listeners out there will want to get that material and help us to circulate it. Hey,
okay.
Now hold on. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course it's sort of open lines tonight. We've got Darlene on the line from New Jersey, and if you'd like to call us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Darlene was saying that she's concerned that they may declare martial law. I think that they intend to create martial law. I think that they intend to create a crisis and start rounding people up here who are felt to be enemies of the state. And I fear that an awful lot of Americans are going to go along with that because they're being told by their ministers that Romans 13, it says that God puts people in charge of government and that people are supposed to be obedient to government. Christians are to obey government. Well, remember that Paul was talking about the Roman government that existed 2,000 years ago. The Roman government was not a representative republic. It was not formed in a republican manner, an entirely different form of government. And this same rationale was used in Hitler's Germany. And anybody who has not yet read Erwin Lutzer's wonderful book, called Hitler's Cross. Erwin Lutzer is a senior minister at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And Erwin Lutzer talks about what happened in Hitler's Germany and how the minister there were preaching Romans 13 to keep the Christians in line and have them go along with the evil government. And that basically it was an occult evil government. And of course we understand from Joyce Riley and from other reliable sources that they're having meetings for ministers now here in this country, urging them that when things begin to fall apart, to urge the Christians just to go along with the government and to remind them what it says in Romans 13. We are to be obedient to the government, and anybody who opposes a tyrannical regime is in violation of God's law, is in rebellion against God. And I don't believe that at all. I believe that the other side that wants to use Christianity to enslave and destroy Christianity. And I think if Christian ministers really understood what was going on and understood the nature of the spiritual struggle, why they would be speaking out against what's going on, unless instead of cowering in their churches and being afraid to take a stand against the organized evil that exists at the highest levels of our government, against the secret societies that have permeated every aspect of our society, and when they put on programs dealing with the occult and the New Age, they would mention the Masons, but they're all afraid to mention the Masons. I've been to many, many church conferences on the New Age and the cults, and they never mention the Masons. And we have to ask ourselves why. And we'll be back with you in just a moment here, Darlene, at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Darlene from New Jersey was saying she's concerned about the danger of a financial collapse here in America. She's concerned about the possibility of martial law. Pick the story up there, Darlene.
When you're talking about Germany, even if the hierarchy said different things like that to the people, there still were people that went against the grain and stood against the government.
Oh, there were, but there weren't that many of them. Most of them were afraid. And then the other thing is, of course, that the ministers, about 90% of the ministers, went right along with Adolf Hitler. Because, you see, they were getting money from him. That's why we have the faith-based initiative in America. You don't really think that they're trying to build up Christianity.
No.
No, they're trying to buy the support of the Christian leaders, and they've got it because you never bite the hand that feeds you.
But, I mean, how many people do you think are leaving the mainstream today? Because, I mean, from my understanding, there's more and more people leaving the mainstream.
No, there are, but I'll tell you, some of the mega churches are certainly growing, and of course, what they're doing is they're not preaching the gospel; they're having entertainment. Oh, they have a little, they throw a little Christianity in there, and they've got a very, very good system for controlling the people who go to their church. They have little groups; they break them up in little groups. They do not allow any dissent. They give the people a sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling. They entertain them every Sunday at church. They tickle their ears. They have videos, they have drama, they have dancing, they have all of these things that that provide entertainment at the churches, but they have abandoned the message of Christianity. And that is, we're all sinners saved by grace and that, you know, if you don't know that you're a sinner and you don't know that you need a Savior, why, you're going to go along. And if you believe that there's only love, God is only love, and there's never a danger of punishment, if you don't believe in hell and that an awful lot of people are going to church today are going to go to hell because they're not really Christians, if you really know the Lord, you're safe in your salvation. But unfortunately, the idea that, you know, you can do whatever you want to, all you have to do is say a prayer and then you can do whatever you want to, we're going to, you know, an awful lot of Christians are going to be in for a real surprise when they stand before the great white throne of judgment.
You know, I'm just wondering how many people are leaving the mainstream.
Well, I tell you what, the mega churches are growing. Now, I don't think that they're growing with a lot of really well-grounded Christians, but they're growing with a lot of people. And I will tell you, there are a lot of people who are leaving the churches, because we get calls all the time. People say that they can't find a church, but I'll tell you that an awful lot of the churches are crowded because they got the greatest entertainment available on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I know somebody who went to one of these churches to speak years ago when Bush came into office, about that, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, that you're going to lose your rights anyway. And the people, they didn't comprehend it.
Right, well, we got real problems, and our job, Darlene, is just to try to educate people about what's going on and point out that these dark, sinister forces have infiltrated our conservative organizations, our Christian organizations, and our Christian churches. What better way to destroy Christianity than from within, to change both the music and the message of the church? Okay?
Okay.
God bless, and thanks so much for
all
calling.
Right.
And again, now, let's go to Mike on Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. Mike's back.
Mike?
Regarding Romans 13, we have got a lot of dummies here running our churches. It's funny how the same thing was done in Nazi Germany to bring their churches into subjection under Hitler. And nobody ever seems to pay attention to the verse before Romans 13. In other words, Romans 12, 21. And, of course, Paul did not put subject headings in to separate different things. Romans 12, 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good."
Good thinking, yep. I think you're absolutely right.
There's no reason to separate that verse from the rest.
But you see, they do that because they want to use Romans 13 to convince Christians they've got to go along with whatever the Bush administration is doing. After all, he prays every day, and God is telling him what to do.
Yeah. So, you know, it just seems like church people are so naive regarding evil. And being biblicists, they should understand evil better than anybody else in the whole world.
But you see, we don't preach about evil in our churches. We preach about love and how God loves us, and God does love us. But unfortunately, there is evil in the world.
Yes, Satan loves us too.
There is a spiritual battle going on.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
That's enough. Okay.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Is this Ken in Seal Beach?
Yes.
All right. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Pretty good. As of last Friday, our president, President Bush, got rid of the Geneva Convention for our soldiers. He signed an edict, which I believe the vice president was involved in. Anyway, and the edict says that the field manuals, the Army field manuals, which I used when I was a sergeant in the Army during the Vietnam War, no longer will list the infractions under Geneva Convention. All it'll say is you cannot engage in torture, but you can do anything else, according to Bush. Now, with all that has gone on, he's inviting the Muslim world to go nuts.
I know. And, of course, the thing is that what he has said, he said, "I would never support torture."
Yeah.
And yet, of course, by doing away with the Geneva Convention, he's supporting torture. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? And there is none. This is what really disturbs me so much, Ken. Most of them are good people, but there's no leadership out there that's pointing out to them what's going on. And yet, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the Christian leaders become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, too. And they're not opposing what the Bush administration is doing. And the Bush administration is condoning torture.
There's one other thing which you might find interesting. The Jewish Journal, which is kind of a moderate publication, it's one of the largest journals around, and I believe it comes out about once a week. They came to the conclusion last week, the 29th of May, that Bush is almost a fascist dictator at this point. Very few people are saying this, but that's really where we're at right now.
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of way-out left-wingers who are making statements like that. But just because they're way-out left-wingers doesn't mean that what they're saying isn't true.
That's correct.
And I think that we have to begin to realize that we've got to look at things as they are, not as we wish that they were. And I think that we are in real trouble. We're seeing this tremendous centralization of power in Washington, D.C. We're seeing progressive erosion of our rights. We see that the government now has the right to search our home without a warrant, and they don't even have to go to the court, which is the tradition. This is the way the law is written. They have to go to court, but they've said we don't have to abide by that. After all, the president doesn't have to abide by the laws. In fact, many of the laws that are being passed by Congress, the president will sign into law and then put on a proviso that he doesn't have to abide by the laws. He's just signed into being.
And
this really is rather, rather frightening. We are to be a nation of laws, not a nation of men. Unfortunately, there is a small clique that wants to rule the world. And those of you who haven't read my newsletters recently need to get hold of them. And the next one, we're just going to tell you what Barry Goldwater said about the Trilateral Commission. Now, certainly, Dick Cheney comes from the Trilateral Commission. He is the one who's really running the Bush White House, not George Bush. George Bush is incapable of running the Bush White House. George Bush is simply a figurehead for the power elite that put him in position of power, and that would be the Trilateral Commission. So you'll certainly want to see what Barry Goldwater said. Basically, he said, these people want to rule the world, pure and simple.
And is that the Trilateral Commission or the CFR?
No, he's talking about the Trilateral Commission.
Okay.
I mean, it's overwhelming. It's listed in my financial tsunami syllabus, but we'll be bringing it out in our next newsletter. And, of course, we cover this in our latest talk on the immigration invasion. People have to understand that there really is a group working in Washington, D.C., headed by David Rockefeller, which is a cabal, which is conspiring to bring about a world government. And these people really rule the world today, and they control the finances of the world, and they control not only our country, they control the countries of Europe, they control many of the communist countries throughout the world, and they are trying, doing everything they can to control communist China and communist Russia. I don't know how complete their control there is, but I will tell you that these people are totally ruthless. They've promoted war after war after war. And of course, what really, of course, energizes them is organized evil. And we simply point out that if you go to their website, trilateral.org, that's trilateral.org, and you look at their logo, it's there, and it's a circle with three sixes, and where they meet in the center, there's an upside-down broken cross. They know exactly what they're doing. They're a satanic organization. They just don't want the American people to know that.
Thank you.
God bless. And thanks so much. And let's go to, I guess we've got Kurt calling from Rio Del Mar. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Kurt. How you doing?
Fine. I had a non-Christian student I've been trying to lead to Christ for a long time that was reading Da Vinci Code with someone else that they could comment on it, and he was hinting strongly that he'd like me to read it. So I read it. I had not intended to read it. I was going to throw away the copy I had. But I'm glad now that I did. It takes quite a bit of time exposing, you know, some of the evil societies in the Catholic Church, but exposing this constant threat of the goddess throughout history. And I think it would go over the heads of most Christians. I don't think that they'd see it. But at the end, the triumphant point is that he kneels down to worship the goddess, the hero. And we Christians need to realize how far that has gone in the society. I mean, I see girls in front of the store out there openly kissing in the middle of the street. We have this tremendous goddess worship, particularly in our town, more so than anywhere else I've seen. But the people need to realize this inversion, this tremendous inversion, is something that the church doesn't seem to be aware of, doesn't seem to combat, and you don't combat it by going out and attacking. It's like abortion, the churches have attacked abortion. Well, that's not how to eliminate abortion. How to eliminate abortion is lead people to Christ, and then they'll behave better, at least one hopes. And then the goddess thing has invaded the churches and the attitudes in the family. We have a divorce rate that's equal to the world. So we need to, as churches, you know, get to know our scripture better, but we need to be aware of what, as Christians, be aware of what's going on around us. I think the book was a tremendously good read, which surprised me, in that it exposes just how much of the evil is out there, but I don't think most people would see it.
Well, I think, first of all, many people really believe that Prior of Sion is a legitimate organization. It really wasn't formed until 1965, and yet, of course, if you read the book, why, of course, you know, Dan Brown says, you know, a lot of this is fiction, but these things are true. The Prior of Sion is real, and it's been around for hundreds of years, and Leonardo da Vinci and Isaac Newton and all these were part of that, and that is not true. And when this has been pointed out to him, he still insists it's true. Now, the basis of his belief was a book called Holy Grail, which came out perhaps, 20 years ago, and I read it at that time. It was totally fraudulent at that time. First of all, it talked about the Prior of Sion, which, of course, was a fraudulent organization organized about 1965, but even more than that, of course, was this idea that it was proven that Mary Magdalene had married Christ and had borne his child, and that was her uterus was, or her womb was the Holy Grail holding the blood of Christ. And, of course, this is, of course, totally heretical. It is an effort to destroy Christianity. I think that we can point out the scientific facts that he has nothing to base his science on, and it gives us a wonderful talking point with people, pointing out that if he lied about the Prior of Sion, what else is he lying about? Why is he so intent upon destroying the Christian faith? Why has this book gotten such a good press? I mean, there are lots of good adventure stories out there, but this one has gotten a good press because it is aimed at destroying Christianity, and there really is a conspiracy against God. And when you point that out, maybe some people at least will begin to understand.
There's a little more about it, too. You know, the whole thread of the goddess worship, I mean, this goes back to Semiramis. This is the old Babylonian Eastern religion, you know, mystery religions. It is the old Egyptian religions. This is as anti-Christian as anything I've ever seen. Yet I find it very revealing. As you know, in 1957, I was 9 years old, and I heard that my great grandfather had died in a communist slave labor camp. And I decided at that point that I was going to understand mass psychology and evil. And as you and I have talked, I've got a 7,000 book library, and continually study to try to understand that. And I appreciate you've helped greatly in my quest. And by the way, that's a good book to read, Quest. But the thing is that I believe that this is an absolutely seminal work. I believe this is them showing their hand, that there's going to be a tremendous move. I wish I knew more about prophecy, but I suspect this is preparation for the woman that rides the beast. I really think that this book is a flag. It's a warning. It's a sign to the world that there's going to be a big, huge... Sorry about my redundancy. There's going to be a huge shift in propaganda. This book is strictly a propaganda work.
Yes, it's a very, very skillfully done one.
Yes.
You know, one of the interesting things is you talk about the woman who rides the beast. If you go to Strasbourg in Germany, there is a replica there of the unfinished Tower of Babel. And basically, it's a building, and it is designed, it's completed, but it's built as if it were the incomplete Tower of Babel. And sitting out in front of this building, where the European Parliament meets on a regular basis, is a statue of the woman riding a beast. And they've even put it on, of course, under the stamps in Europe. The people over there understand that what we're seeing today with the European Union is the fulfillment of Nimrod's effort to build the Tower of Babel. That's what the European Union is, a stepping stone towards the reconstitution of the one world order that Nimrod wanted to accomplish, that Alexander tried to accomplish, that Napoleon tried to accomplish, but that is being accomplished today.
Oh, I think this book is their announcement. This book is their Mein Kampf. This is their announcement of what they're going to do. And I think that Christians need to realize that.
I think it's absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. And I certainly am, I'm so glad I read the book. It's a fascinating read. Dan Brown is an excellent author, but of course he's not telling the truth when he tells you that the priory is real. I do not believe it's real. I don't think anybody, even CBS on 60 Minutes, admitted that it is totally fraudulent. So why does Dan Brown insist that it's real? Why, very, very simply. Because he needs to be able to give you the idea that, of course, there is a secret, and that secret is that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross. And of course, if that is true, then Christianity is a lie. And this is exactly the message he's trying to get out. Do you have anything else you want to cover there?
Yeah, one more comment.
All right, then you hang on till we have to get back. Sydney, we'll be back in just a moment after the break here. And then, of course, we'll be back once again to wrap up this evening's program. I always enjoy open lines. I hope you do as well. Be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. All right, Kurt, do you have another point you want to make?
Yeah, there were two times in life when I got a chance to really see the mechanics of the other side. One was back in 67 when I was asked to head the Communist Party in San Jose. And the fellow that was the actual head of the Communist Party would tell me how the SDS, who were, of course, not communists, the SDS got their money. It went from Moscow to Canada. The Security Savings Bank in San Jose was picked up every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It was about a 2-inch water. 20s, I had been asked to be the courier to pick up that money and distribute it. But I moved down to state, and I wound up downstairs from the SDS headquarters, and we used to hear the planning of all the riots come right through the ceiling. They talked loud enough. We heard every detail. And the thing is that they were very good at looking like they were saying one thing but really saying another thing. Then years later, when I was recruited to be chairman of a department, in a New Age college, the owner of the college used to take me to lunch and teach me how we have to be able to have the skills to have a conversation with one person that's across from us, but we're really talking to a person that's over on our right. And the people that are involved in these evil things talk in double and triple layers. And, you know, they'll say one thing, but they mean another. And if you really look at them and they're as evil as Dan Brown is, then look for a third, fourth, fifth, or sixth layer. And I believe that this book very much is an announcement of the coming goddess who the world is to worship, according to these people.
Well, I think that we're moving towards a crisis in history. I think these are the most exciting times, that have ever been recorded, and aren't we privileged to live here? And are we privileged to know the Lord? Because I'll tell you that as things begin to unfold, I think that no one is going to be able to survive without the Lord's protection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there was a prophecy in Santa Cruz about 10 years ago that if the Christians of Santa Cruz would care enough about their neighbors to get off their butts and witness and lead people to Christ, there will be revival in Santa Cruz and 100,000 souls will be saved. Now, what's interesting is Santa Cruz at the time was about 3% church and the nation was about 42% church. That would bring Santa Cruz up to 47%. Interesting. The prophecy went on that the revival would go to San Francisco. It would sweep through the homosexual community like fire. It would cross the nation, and 5 million people would accept Christ. It would change the history of this nation, change the history of the world, and buy time for more people to accept Christ.
And what happened, Kurt?
Nothing.
Nothing happened. Well, our job is, of course, to keep plugging away and hope that the Lord will intervene. Hey, we're out of time, but thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, bye now.
God bless. And, of course, that was Kurt calling from Rio Del Mar. Pray for revival. That is probably the only thing that's going to save America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, 9 hours a day on satellite, and, of course, We have a unique opportunity, but quite frankly, we need your help. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and why we'd love to hear from you. Now, we do hope that many of you, of course, will tell others about our program and encourage them to listen on the Internet or on shortwave or by one means or another, and to help and support our efforts to educate the American people about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You can even get it by the case. And we hope that many of you actually will distribute the book and help us to recruit others into an understanding of the true nature of what this battle is about, because it's not about the United States and Iran. It has nothing to do, certainly, with our relationships with Iraq or with Russia or China. All of this is contrived. It is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle which has a common denominator of an intense hatred of Christianity, and their goal is to rule the world. This is what they've always wanted to do, starting with Nimrod and Alexander the Great, and certainly Napoleon wanted to rule the world, and Hitler wanted to rule the world, and Cecil Rhodes wanted to rule the world, and the Trilateral Commission wants to rule the world, and David Rockefeller wants to rule the world. And if you haven't read David Rockefeller's statement on page 405 of his memoirs, you really need to get it and read it, where he says, you know, some people say that we, that is the Rockefeller family, are part of a cabal that is conspiring to build about a new international order. And if that is the charge, then I stand guilty as charged. I'm a proud internationalist. He's part of a cabal. He's part of a conspiracy. And David Rockefeller, of course, is the man who organized the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, their logo is a circle made up of three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. And if you study the history of the Rockefeller clan, you'll find a strong occult ties there from generation to generation. Understand what is going on. Go to their website, trilateral.org. That's the Trilateral Commission, trilateral.org. Look at their website. You could see it, but if somebody didn't point it out to you, you wouldn't recognize it. You see, they hide their message in plain sight. And they have left messages in logos. They've left messages in statues. They've included them in paintings down through the ages. They laugh at us because we're not smart enough to see what they're doing. The way it has always been. If you don't believe it, you need to read Manly P. Hall's book. Manly P. Hall is a Satanist. Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, which is available through Radio Liberty. That's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. If you'd like more information, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so, until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.